Hello, good morning and welcome to the Finance Show here on tiptv.co.uk. It is Wednesday, the 11th of January 2017. Could be the day when Trump says, actually, I've thought about it, I've decided not to, to turn up at the White House on January the 20th. What do you think, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners?
Well, Donald Trump is predictably unpredictable, so I wouldn't necessarily bet against it at this point. I don't think the shocks will have ended in 2016, despite what other people might hope.
So he might not. So he won't say the Russians have got too much against me in their little black book.
I can't be asked to move from Trump Tower. I'm just going to stay here and get my son-in-law to do everything.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going to do. It's shaping up for that, isn't it?
Perhaps he'll outsource the job to China.
Yes.
China, as he calls it.
China. Okay. All right. Let's go for the slides of the day. Most popular in business and finance, top EU officials trying to steal city traders' punishment from Brexit, says London Stock Exchange chief. The LSE boss, Xavier Rollet, said clients had been cold-called by continental regulators, warning them of the risk of staying in the UK, according to The Sun, that well-known balanced outlet of news information. Xavier Rollet, well, he can always go back to the EU if things go pear-shaped at the LSE, can't he?
I think Xavier Rollet is just the sort of talent, inverted commas, that the UK authorities are very keen to retain for some unknown reason.
Well, because he's French. He could be a Trojan horse for the EU.
Possibly, yeah. But, I mean, in terms of the Sun report, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me in the least. I mean, certainly officials in the EU, as opposed to individual national governments pitching for city businesses is a step up, I think, because I think within 24 hours or so ago of the UK referendum result, you know, we had, of course, these billboards and we on trucks and buses and whatever going around London saying, come to Paris, come to Frankfurt. But, you know, the supposedly technocratic EU.
They might as well say, try and learn a new language in 1 week.
Yes.
You've got 7 days to learn French and seven days to learn German, which is such an easy language, obviously.
It is, and in terms of, and German, very very lyrical.
Yes,
as Wagnerians would know.
And known for their sense of humour as well. But
oil
prices rise as details of Saudi supply cuts start to emerge. Oil rose on Wednesday, lifted by reports of Saudi supply cuts to Asia, but gains were capped by a lack of detail about the reductions and because of signs of rising supplies from other producers, according to Reuters. So oil is leaking out of the agreement.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit choppy in recent sessions because, of course, we had a bit of a sell-off earlier on the week on reports of record December exports from Iran, didn't we? But, I mean, ultimately, we won't know who's complied with what until probably the end of the first week of February when we see what January production actually was.
OK, next slide is from Nicole Elliott, the trader at the Investors Chronicle. In a three-hour grilling at the Treasury Select Committee yesterday, Douglas Flint, chairman of HSBC, said about 1,000 of his own staff.
Yeah.
What do these people do?
Personal shoppers, groomers, butlers. I mean, yeah.
Nail clippers.
That number's come
manicurist.
Down. I think it was 4,000 a while ago. I mean, look, who knows? Quite frankly. I mean, I think the broad idea, you can just transplant wholesale these big financial institutions to other destinations such as Frankfurt, Dublin, or Paris is fanciful.
Right. So we don't really care if he goes either, do we?
I don't care.
Okay. Let's go for the next slide. Sentiment with Oanda clients who are extremely long of gold and, well, actually extremely long of silver, less long of gold now after the recent rally there. Very long of sterling, which I think is worrying.
It's going to be a pain trade right now, isn't it?
Now towards 121. It's fallen half a cent so far this morning. So we know that sterling is going to go now below 120, I would say. It's a given.
Well, I mean, hard Brexit is looking extremely likely, isn't it? The rhetoric is ramping up on both sides of the channel. And, of course, we are awaiting, I think, by the end of this month, the ruling of the High Court on participation or not of MPs.
We're really looking forward to hearing what they're saying. And
It'll be like a 300-page summary.
Yeah, and they've got so much authority.
It'll make research notes.
The Supreme Court have got so much authority, haven't they these days?
Yes.
Economic calendar, the Bank of England Governor Carney to testify to lawmakers, US crude oil inventories, and the highlight of the day, the US Trump speech. which we, I think we've covered in the open. Next up, the co-report from Investors Intelligence. The S&P is catching its breath at record highs. Indicators suggest another up leg is imminent. Breadth, the percentage index members trading above their 30-week moving average, is trending up with some room for further expansion. Likewise, the 14-day RSI is on the rise with an overbought condition a safe distance away. So a rising trend channel there. Going on to broker recommendations for UK stocks, Burberry, where Barclays Capital are agreeing with my notion of the company, although my notion is that the company will actually allow itself to be taken over after seeing how badly it did at Christmas. But they've got a target there of £17.60, which is about £2 or £3 above the current share price. Rightmove, Liberum Capital going for a buy. The target is actually £10 above their target, the current share price. So it's £40 at the moment as opposed to £50. And Just Eat, the company which, all these delivery companies which I love at the moment, yes. £6.30, the target there by Deutsche Bank, and the current share price just under £5. We go on now on to the highlight of the opening section here at the Tip TV Finance Show, where we see Mike Ingram.
And yeah, his presentation. We can only get better, can't it, really?
Sluggish global growth.
That's a very firm statement that I desperately need a publicist, isn't it, that photo? Anyway, well, look, I put a few slides together under the general title of inflated expectations and really pointing out that, you know, we've had seen markets, equity markets, hell of a run over the last few months, and some big moves in some big sectors such as banks, some of which are put on 50%+. Anyway, look, so what I thought I'd do is look at some of the data coming in and some of the forecasts coming in. So I'm looking at growth, economic growth, GDP growth, and the sort of forecasts which are knocking around for what we thought happened last year into this year and out to next year. And what's quite interesting is they, if, despite this massive re-rating that we've seen in many parts of the market, you haven't really seen the growth forecast move. You've seen a bit of an uptick in terms of the top panel's global growth, middle is developed markets, bottom is emerging markets. You've seen basically flat forecast. It's come down from quite a high level at the start of last year. And even 2 years out, with all the sort of stimulus, etc., that we've been given, monetary stimulus from central banks and now perhaps fiscal stimulus from economies such as the US, you're not seeing even forecasts two years out reaching the same levels that we thought we were going to have last year.
And is the concern there? I mean, the emerging markets are like a disaster zone.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be the main issue for this year, isn't it?
There actually seems to be a bit of a net off, because it's, one of the reasons why developed markets have had a bit of an uptick in terms of the growth expectations is that's been largely driven by the US. But of course, if the US pursues a restrictive trade policy, that's a massive shock for emerging markets. And you see that in terms of the performance that we've seen in emerging markets over the last 2 or 3 months. We've seen it in terms of where some of these currencies are. Mexican peso is obviously at ground zero in all of that. And as we'll discuss, I think, shortly, it has important implications for global inflation and interest rates as well. So are we talking about the big rally that we've seen? It's really been about a big rotation. I mean, we can talk about market volatility and so forth, but really, the headline volatility of most indices has been quite low. Certainly equity indices has been low. At the sectoral level, there's been a big rotation out of staples, out of, you know, tobacco companies, telcos, utilities, all those sort of bond proxy type things. As indeed, of course, there's been a big move out of bonds themselves. I mean, November was the worst year for bond performance in 25 years. So you've been moving into cyclical companies, companies which are economically sensitive. So I think the point I'm making, to marry it up with that previous slide, is the market at the stock level is saying, you know, we think that growth is going to come through quite strongly, but that's not tallying with the macroeconomic top-down forecast. And interestingly enough, you know, unlike 2013, where you had this synchronized outperformance of cyclical stocks over defensive stocks, emerging markets are completely left out. So again, this idea that you have got a reflation, maybe an inflation trade in developed markets, emerging markets are not going to be participating in that. In fact, the outlook might be quite grim.
Okay.
And lastly, just having a look at to top it off with the inflation outlook. Now, I've got two market-based measures of inflation expectations at the top of the chart, those two top lines. One is the so-called five-year forward, five-year inflation swap. That's the difference between the real yields on TIPS, basically linkers in the US. And the, another one is the five-year inflation swap. And both of those, you can see, have actually tracked up, certainly in the latter half of the year. And there was a, quite a big jump in that, you know, in November on the back of Donald Trump's election. And you've seen, bottom two lines, Fed fund futures, so the futures market expectation to where the Fed funds rate is going to be at the end of 2017 and at the end of 2018. You can see that has also had a corresponding jump. So we've definitely seen an increase in so-called inflation compensation that the market is demanding. And my question, I suppose, within the context of the slides and the data that I've already put out here, is how much of the sell-off in bond markets is actually inflation? I'm willing to bet, and you had a big PPI number come out from China yesterday. Yeah, you cannot reliably expect China to export deflation to the rest of the world anymore. Obviously, we've got an inflationary story on commodity prices to some extent, and of course, you've got the prospect of trade disruption emanating from the US, with which will be a massive supply shock for the US economy and inflationary. So this could be the first year since the Great Financial Crisis where inflation expectations actually beat market forecasts, and that has consequences for pretty much every asset class.
Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, thank you for opening the Tip TV Finance Show for us today.